You're listening to the Gulam Institute podcast series, The Rawi Gems, by Mufti Hussain Kamani. Gulam is pleased to announce the Hadith Intensive, an immersive study into the science of Hadith and Sunnah. For more information, visit gulaminstitute.org/hadith. And Jazakallah khair for listening.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأزكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. Today was a very interesting day. It may be one of the most unique days, if not of this year, then maybe of its decade. And we're all aware of the incident that I'm referring to. Just today earlier, the armies marched in on their foot, on foot, invading into Palestine. And Allah knows what the toll will be of those who will live today and those who will die today. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of what those people are going through today, this very special day. And many people, they sent me text messages today, I got some phone calls, some emails, and people were asking that if it's the month of Ramadan, it's the holy city, and these are Muslims being oppressed, why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put an end to this? And when I read these messages, whether they were through text, whether they were through email, phone calls, whatever it was, I felt that within the ummah, there was a sense of despondency in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where people were becoming despondent and they were losing their faith because of what they were seeing happening. Today we recited a very interesting ayah. And this ayah tells us a story of what happened before the story even happened. The Muslims were in a state very similar to today. They were disgraced. They were humiliated. Not only were they were humiliated in the haram, right? In the haram boundaries, right outside the haram boundaries in Hudaybiyah. And the Muslims were there and they had only one intention to perform Umrah. They were in the sacred garments of Ihram. They were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all they want to do is go to the Kaaba and perform Umrah. And the people of Makkah Mukarramah put a blockage there and they say, you can't go any forward at all. So here these people are innocent, they're saying we want to go forward, no weapons at all, whatever little weapons we have, it's to save ourselves from burglars, from bandits. And the opposition is saying that there's no way we'll let you go forward. Why not? Because we have might and you don't have might today. Very similar, right? Stories sound very similar. And the Muslims were gathered there and the situation became such that they were in a place where there was very little resources. And the wells of Hudaybiyah went dry. Sounds very similar, right? The wells of Hudaybiyah went dry, they had no water. So they went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, "O Messenger of Allah, we're thirsty." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to the well, he performed wudu, and water began to gush from the well, and they began to drink from there. Now, when the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed, all of the terms and conditions were against the Muslims. There was not one condition in there that favored the Muslims until the point where there was one of the conditions were that you cannot do Umrah this year; you have to come back next year, and next year when you come, you can only stay for 3 days. It's your land, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house, the land belongs to Allah, but you can only stay for 3 days. Then after that, they say that if one of us runs away from you and comes back to Makkah Mukarramah, you can do nothing about it. But what if one of you runs away to us, right? Sorry, if one of you runs away to you, if he leaves Makkah and he comes to Medina, you have to return him back. But what if one of our people leaves Medina and comes to Makkah, we will not return him back. Again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam agrees. Now when the contract is being written down, the writer from the Muslim side was Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And Ali radiallahu anhu is writing and he writes, this contract is between Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, and the people of Makkah. So the negotiator from the side of Makkah Mukarramah says, we know Muhammad, but we don't know this Messenger of Allah. Remove this from the contract. Now Ali radiallahu anhu, he believed in the Prophet. He believed in the Prophet so firmly, that was the advice his father gave him. When his father found out he was a Muslim, his father said to him, my son, I won't instruct you to leave him. But what I will tell you is that once you've taken his side, never leave his side. And he said, my father, I promise for as long as I live, I will stand by the side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he's holding the pen and he's signing the contract as a son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a relative of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as one who the Prophet called Asadullah, the lion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet says, remove Rasulullah. And Ali radiallahu anhu can't do it. It's so hard for him to remove Rasulullah because that's what he stood for his entire life. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And according to one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the pen himself, he identified where it said Rasulullah, and he removed it. According to another narration, he instructed Ali radiallahu anhu, my instruction is to remove it. They removed it. Right? Again, a compromise from our side. Then after this was over, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turned to the Sahaba and he said to all of them that this year we will not do Umrah. Everyone, exit the state of Ihram and we're heading back to Medina. Imagine how they felt at that moment. You know, imagine you're on your way to Hajj and at the airport in Europe somewhere, they say you can't go any forward for some reason, that the next plane, you can't board it, you have to go back home. How would you feel? And here they're so sour from inside, so salty, that this is one of the very intense moments of the Prophet's life. That he gave the Sahaba a command that everyone take your ihram off, we're going back to Medina, and no one moved. Everyone sat there. And the Prophet ﷺ became worried that this is the first time I've told him to do something and they haven't moved. So the Prophet went to his wife's tent, Umm Salama radiallahu anha, and he said to her, I don't know what to do now. She said, what happened? He said, I told them to take their ihram off and no one moved from their place. So Umm Salama radiallahu anha said, O Messenger of Allah, they're in shock right now. They can't believe that Islam is taking such a big hit, because Umar radiallahu anha, he said, O Messenger of Allah, are we not on the haq? Don't we believe in Allah? Should we not just give our lives for the sake of Allah? What's the point living in dishonor? We'd rather die with honor. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Umar, no, not yet. Wait. Now, after this is over, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam exits and acts upon the advice of Umm Salama. He exits the state of Ihram. And after he exits, all the Sahaba realize that there's no chance now. Everyone exits the state of Ihram. And they're all marching back from Mecca to Medina. Now imagine their moral state at that time. Imagine how down they were. Imagine how low they were. And when they're walking back, sad and quiet, no one is speaking another word to another person, the revelation is revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. We have given you a clear victory. Now, though, if you were there at that moment, if that was your story, and if today someone said to you that what's happening in Palestine today is a clear victory, you and I would be skeptical while reading this story, wouldn't we? This line, this narration, it'd be so skeptical. This revelation would be so skeptical. We look at it and say, how does this make any sense? But the Sahaba, when they heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet said, today the surah has been revealed to me, and he recited the full surah. The Sahaba began to celebrate that Allah has given us victory. What victory? They didn't know. Because there are certain times in your life where you won't realize, but you are victorious. Do you think the Muslims in the early days of Islam knew they were victorious because they were being stoned and sworn at? Do you think the Muslims who were being tortured outside Makkah Mukarramah had any idea that their torturing would be a source of victory for the Muslims? Do you think Bilal had any idea while there was a rock sitting on his chest and his skin is burning away from the bottom and he is a slave being beaten by his master, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, and all his master is saying, say you worship Lat and Uzza, and every time when he whips him, when he lashes him, the only thing that exits his tongue is Ahad, Ahad, one Allah, one Allah. Do you think Bilal understood the end of the story at that day? Yes or no? He didn't know the end of the story. As far as he knew, the story was being written and he was a part of that story. Do you think Ali Yasir had any idea what the end of their story would be? Where Yasir radiallahu anhu is tied up and he's being beaten up. And right next to him, his wife, Sumayya radiallahu anhu, is being beaten up. And right next to them, their son, Ammar radiallahu anhu, is being beaten up. And Abu Jahl is first beating up the son, then beating up the mother, then beating up the father. And one by one, he's beating them up. And each family member sees the other being beaten up. And then finally, he takes a spear and he puts it right through Sumayya radiallahu anhu. The first lady, the first person in Islamic history to ever lose their life was Sumayya radiallahu anha. And when she dies, do you think anyone had any idea that her death was a sign of victory? Do you think anyone had any idea then? And Yasir radiallahu anha is seeing his wife die. And then Ammar radiallahu anha sees his mother die. And later on that evening, while they're in their chains, Ammar radiallahu anha is next to his father, Yasir radiallahu anha. And Yasir radiallahu anha said to his son, my son, today your mother was the first to die for the sake of Islam. That's an honor we hold that no one else will. She started the sunnah. And then after that he said, and I should tell you that I will be the second to die. Then he said, give my salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And with that he passed away. Right? In one day, Ammar sees his mother die, and he sees his father Yasir die. The next day, Abu Jahl comes to punish him, and he tortures Ammar radiallahu anhu so much, that Ammar radiallahu anhu was sure that he was going to die. Then he said to Abu Jahl, said to him, say to me that Muhammad is a liar and I'll let you go. And Ammar radiallahu anhu resisted, and he beat him more. He said, say to me, Muhammad is a liar. And Ammar was a young man, and he kept beating him. And finally, Ammar, he said, Muhammad is a liar. But in his heart, he respected the Prophet. It was just something that he said to save his life. And then when he said it, Abu Jahl let him go. And Ammar radiallahu anhu, he ran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, today I've committed such a mistake with my tongue that I don't know if I'll ever be able to forgive myself. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, give me your feet. And he leaned forward to kiss the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah in the Quran, right? إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌّ بِالْإِيمَانِ Except for the one who says words of apostasy, even though, but his heart is comfort and it's content with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you think Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu knew what the end of the story would be? The day he is protecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while the Prophet is standing in front of the Kaaba and he's praying. And the people of Makkah Mukarramah come to Abu Bakr and they beat him down. Do you think he knew the end of the story? No, none of these guys knew the end of the story. But Abu Bakr was a witness. Bilal was a witness. The family of Yasir were a witness that Islam only brought them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not respond. They didn't react to what was happening. Because whether they were being tested, whether they were happy, they always knew everything was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they knew they were a part of the story of Islam being written down. So today when we talk back, when we look back at history, we have their stories to mention. And we use their stories as inspiration. They were a witness that without Islam, there was no connection with Allah. But as soon as you had Islam, now Bilal, a slave, he is being lashed and whipped, but he keeps repeating, Ahad, Ahad, one Allah, one Allah. These people were a witness that Muslims will remain Muslims. Muslims will stay strong in their faith on their deen no matter how much you test them. Because their love is not with the material thing, their love is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just as that story was being written, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was being tortured, when he was being stoned in Taif, do you think he had any idea, or do you think anyone knew what was going to be the end of that story? Today when we look at the end of the story, we see the Taif, people of Taif became Muslim. When we look at the end of the story of Ammar radiallahu anhu, Bilal radiallahu anhu, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, we find Ammar bin Yasir was one of the closest companions to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just like a son to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We find Bilal radiallahu anhu was the one who the Prophet said for, Bilal, I heard your footsteps in Jannah the other day. And then Bilal radiallahu anhu, the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conquered Makkah. He calls Bilal, he says, Bilal, come here. I want you to climb the Kaaba and give the adhan. Why Bilal? Why not Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali? Because Makkah used to echo in Bilal's ahad. Now it was time for it to echo again with the adhan. And Bilal radiallahu anhu climbs and he gives the adhan, the end of the story. Right? And then do you think anyone knew what was going to be the outcome of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu? Look at his outcome. Imagine what joy he must have had the day his body was lowered down next to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ You will always be on top as long as you believe in Allah. You have to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't let your moral down. You can't let your faith down. Today the story is being written. And just as those men, Bilal, Abu Bakr, and Yasir, Ammar radiallahu anhu, just as they were tortured, they were weak people. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that those weak people became those who were victorious in the Battle of Badr. Just a few years later, now that same Bilal is standing in line with the sword. And Abu Bakr is standing in line with the sword. And Ammar radiallahu anhu is standing in line with the sword. And these 300 men end up defeating the 1,000 people that used to torture them earlier on. So my dear brothers and sisters, when we study our deen, we find examples of what we're going through today earlier on. When I see the Gaza Strip, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the Sha'b Abi Talib. You know, when the Muslims were put on boycott. For 3 years they were put on boycott. And many had died during that boycott. No one came in, no one went out of there. And what they went through, they were just crammed inside a small little valley that belonged to Abu Talib. And today when we look at Gaza, we find that exact same story again. It just repeats itself. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses people to be a part of the story who are worthy of being a part of it. You guys understand? I asked myself, if I was there today, I didn't know where my iman would be today. You know, one day some sahaba were sitting together. Actually, some tabi'een were sitting together. And they said to each other, I wish I was a sahabi. And there was a sahabi sitting not too far away. He turned around and said to that tabi'i. Tabi'i is the one who did not see the Prophet. He saw a sahabi. And a sahabi is someone who saw the Prophet. So the tabi'i said, I wish I was a sahabi. There was a sahabi sitting there. He turned around and said, brother, do you even know what you're talking about? Being a sahabi wasn't a walk in the park or going to some garden or going to some theme park. Being a sahabi meant that you had to put your life on the line for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not everyone had the skin to be a sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So today, my brothers and sisters, we shouldn't feel despondent of Allah's mercy. Because Allah says in the Quran, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تُدْرَكُوا وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ Do you think you will just enter into paradise or you will be left alone and Allah doesn't know who is patient and who is struggling from amongst you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Am hasibtum an tadkhulul jannah wa lamma ya'tikum mathalul ladina khalaw min qablikum." Do you think you're going to go to paradise and you don't go through what the people before you went through? What did they go through? Massatuhumul ba'sa'u wadh-dharra'u wazulzilu. They went through pain, they went through difficulty, they went through poverty, and they were shooken. You know, zulzilu, according to some mufassirin, literally there was a zalzala, there was an earthquake. According to other mufassirin, what that means is that they went through so much difficulty that as a nation internally they were shaking. They weren't firm anymore. Wazulzilu. And then they said, "Hatta yaqula ar-rasulu walladhina amanu ma'ahu mata nasrullah." Until the messenger and his followers said, "Where is the help of Allah?" And today we ask that very same question, where is the help of Allah? But Allah in the ayah itself, He responds, what does He say? Allah inna nasrullahi qareeb. That Allah's help is very close. But just be patient. And tomorrow we'll know what this story comes out to be. And the story will always be the same. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. The story will always be the same. إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. That indeed we have given you an open victory. So we leave our matters to the wisdom of Allah. We leave our matters to the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this surah, surah Fatah, an inspiration for all of us. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He gave the Sahaba Fatah in the Battle of Badr, as He gave them Fatah in Hudaybiyah, as He gave them Fatah of Makkah Mukarramah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives those who are being oppressed today Fatah over the oppressors. Qulu Ameen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liberates all those that are being oppressed across the world. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He removes the zalim from them. Either the zalim accepts Islam, or Allah perishes him and leads him to his destiny. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.